This is Playgirls Sex Pod. I am Jamie Waxman. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you've had a wonderful time away, wherever you are, were, or will be. I am talking to you live from my very expensive studio, which isn't really true at all. But who am I? I'm Jamie Waxman, and I write the sex advice column for Playgirl magazine, a magazine that looks so good these days. You should check it out. I also do a lot of work with Playgirl TV as well as, you know, on my own. I'm a sex and relationship columnist, writer, and porn maker as well. And this is Playgirl Sex Pod, brought to you by PlaygirlTV.com. You should definitely check them out. And honestly, I've been doing a lot of work with Playgirl TV, and I will say that you should check out the videos for couples. These are great videos for couples. You can buy Playgirl DVDs, or you can go to your local video on demand and look under for women or for couples, and hopefully there's a few Playgirl vignettes. Really good, not too much talking, aesthetically beautiful, and nice, loving sex. Well, most of the time. Speaking of nice, loving sex, I went this past weekend. I was asked actually to be part of a play here in New York where I live called My First Time. It's off Broadway, and honestly, I highly recommend if you're in New York or coming to the New York area and looking for something fun to do. This is a really interesting play. I was kind of, you know, afraid at first of what it could actually be, but I was extremely delighted and enjoyed my experience, not only being on stage revealing my first time, which I did do and which I will talk about here today, but actually listening to the definition of first time, because my first time doesn't necessarily mean intercourse, although, you know, immediately that's what a lot of us think of. And that's definitely, I'd be lying to say it wasn't what I thought of when I first heard, ooh, do you hear that vibrating? That is my cell phone. And I'm just ignoring it now. But wow, that was interesting. I don't know if you actually heard that. And if you didn't, then just pretend you have no idea what I'm talking about. Or actually, you have no idea what I'm talking about, so you don't have to pretend. But I like to do live podcasts, even though podcasting does not have to be live. So I don't do a lot of editing. So I probably won't take out the fact that my cell phone vibrated, you know, and that I got caught off guard over there. That's part of the human experience, right? Right. So my first time, a lot of us jump back to the thought that it's actually intercourse, when it can mean your first kiss or the first time you had an orgasm, which is not necessarily the first time you had intercourse, the first time you fell in love, whatever it means to you. This play, while generally about first times with regard to intercourse, was not only about that. And really, some of the first times, while, you know, we all want them to be great, we obviously know that all of our first times are not the best times, because it's our first time and we don't have the experience for it to be our best time. So, well, that and a lot of other things probably. So it really, I know that my original first podcast, I did something similar to this, but I don't think I did this exactly. And seeing My First Time, the play, which is the website as well, myfirsttimetheplay.com, where you can check out video and read about other people's first times, which it actually was inspired by a website called myfirsttime.com, where people write down their first times. And this is totally anonymous. And you can go on myfirsttime.com and contribute your first time as well. So I wanted to share my first time with the hopes that maybe you'll even email me and share yours. I love other people's stories. It's one of the reasons I'm a sex educator, a sexologist, whatever word you want to use, a sexplorer, which is a word I've used for so long. But I'm kind of moving past that word for some reason. I don't know why. It just feels like it's time to move past that word. So I will share mine. If you want to share yours, you can go to my website, jamiewaxman.com. That's JAMIEWAXMAN.com. And email me there or shoot me an email through playgirltv.com. There is an email address on under Daily Fix, I believe, where you can actually get in touch with me. So the average age, by the way, of Americans losing their virginities, I believe, is like 15.8. That's what at least it said on the screen at the My First Time play. And I was actually 16.5, if we're going to do the point system here, when I lost my virginity. I was in a relationship, and for a 16-year-old, it was a long-term relationship. We had been together for a year and a half, and honestly, and this is a way too much information podcast, we had been dating for, you know, 15 months, like I said, something like that. And I had waited 8 months to give him a blowjob. I was a little bit nervous. I had never done anything like that before. I hadn't even had a lot of boyfriends or girlfriends to experiment with, although, well, I did have one long-term experiment partner, and that went well, but I still had not given a blowjob, and I was very nervous about doing it because I wanted to do it right, although I now believe there is no right. There are, of course, a few things you can do wrong, like grab at the balls too quickly, bite down on a penis, things like that, but there is really so many different strokes for so many different folks. Regardless, I was nervous, so I called my aunt, who was really my sex education teacher in some ways. I don't remember much sex education from school. I do remember my health teacher once telling us that if you hold hands, you can get HIV. So obviously, my sex education was not very good. So I would call my aunt up and ask her for advice. My aunt is 15 years older than I am. So while there's an age difference, it's not that big when it comes to having this cool aunt who, when you're 15, is 30 and who tells you some of the basics about giving a blowjob. And, you know, some of those would be to obviously use your mouth to relax, to use your hand to make sure you get spit on his penis. I have more or less some other not so basic things to that I can share as well. And if I haven't done that in a past podcast, I'm spacing today, then I will do it soon. And if I have, then check out my past podcasts at Playgirls Sex Pod. There's under Daily Fix, I believe it says podcast, and you can always go to my website, jamiewaxman.com. But I'm pretty sure, since blowjobs are something I talk about often, that there's at least one podcast up there about them. Anyway, so at 16 and a half, this was my second attempt at losing my virginity. My first attempt failing only a few months before, or maybe even a few weeks before. That time frame is hazy because it was also the first time I drank. And while my first drink was mostly orange juice, not vodka, by the end of my night, we were at a friend's house. Enjoying the fact that her parents were out of town. So we were planning on sleeping there. And this was one of the only opportunities I, as a high school junior or sophomore, but I think at this point I was a junior, got to spend with my boyfriend. So I was very excited to sleep with him, not necessarily obviously having intercourse, but I thought that would be the night. And then I had way too much to drink and ate way too little, and still can see what I threw up, because this is so unsexy, so I'm going to keep it as, you know, undescribable as possible, or undescriptive as possible, but, or nondescript would be the proper English, as I was an English major, but, you know, whatever, I'm just talking. So I threw up in the sink that night and was really sick for the rest of the evening, so there was absolutely no chance in hell that we were going to have sex that night. So the second attempt was way more premeditated. We had planned an evening, both of us living at home with our parents and the beds that we grew up in. We knew we would only have a limited amount of time to do what we needed to do. So this was I don't remember being extremely romantic. I don't remember candles or mood lighting or even music to go with the moments. What I do remember is that we did it in his twin bed in his room because we knew his parents would be out to a late dinner and that we would have at least 2 hours to enjoy each other. I do remember being afraid of two things. One, he was very thick, and I'm talking the thickness that it hurts when you give a blowjob thick. So he was very thick to begin with, and I was nervous about what it might do to my vagina. And I was also nervous about my hymen. I had heard horror stories about the hymen, and I was really scared because I didn't really ride a bicycle all that often. I never played gymnastics, and I think I'd gotten on a horse once in my life, which were the things I'd heard could potentially break the hymen prior to having intercourse. And I also never used tampons. So I was really nervous about tearing this piece of skin that was connecting, you know, was connected to my body. So that scared me as well. The pain was definitely something I felt like you had to go through, but I just wanted that part over with. And, well, there was a little bit of pain, I remember. I remember there was a little bit of blood, and I remember thinking while it was happening that this was bigger than getting my period, and it was bigger than having a bat mitzvah, which was something I, as a Jewish girl from Long Island, did indeed have. And this was probably the biggest moment of my life. Now, I was really obsessed with the virginity thing for a while, so much so that every time I took a plane trip, I would actually, you know, send a little prayer up above and ask that the plane land safely because I did not want to die a virgin. And this was something I basically thought about every time I thought I was in a position where I could potentially lose my life. Of course, you know, you never know what those positions are. But at this time, I thought going in a plane was a pretty good way to possibly not make it back. So I was always begging for a safe flight so that I could indeed know what it felt like to have his flesh in mine. And I got my wish at 16.5. I had my boyfriend's penis inside of me. Oh, that sounds so technically unromantic as well. I remember thinking that I just wanted it to end once it began, not because my boyfriend wasn't caring, and not because he didn't ask me 100 times if he should stop, and not because we only did it in missionary, even though all of those things did happen, but because it just wasn't that good. I remember thinking that if this was it, then it wasn't something I had to do all the time, and that at least I had gotten it over with. Of course, I learned otherwise, maybe not right away, as I didn't have my first orgasm till I was 21. So I learned a lot in that time, but I also learned that if you don't know if you had an orgasm, then odds are you didn't. Still, I remember thinking that this had made me a woman, and I was the first of my friends to lose my virginity, and so now I could go back and tell the other women just what it felt like and what to expect and be there to coach them when it was their time. And one other thing, because a lot of first-time intercourse experiences don't necessarily involve protection. I, on the other hand, was doubly protected. I was so into making sure I was not a 16-year-old mother. We were both virgins, so I wasn't worried much about anything else at this point. That not only did he wear a condom, but I stuck the most disgusting spermicidally lubricated tablet up inside of me. It was called NCARE, and I'm pretty sure, and I hope and pray that it's off the market now. It was basically just a big tablet of nonoxynil 9, and it foamed out as it warmed up in your body. And actually, honestly, it stained the carpet in my bedroom years. Well, not years later, but later when we had sex in my bedroom. So it stained the sheets. It smelled gross. And if you happen to taste it, it numbed your mouth. These are not good things. But at the time, I thought anything was better than being a 16-year-old mother, which, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of 16-year-old mothers who don't think there's anything better. I don't know. what to say anymore on that subject, but I did not want to be one, and I'm glad I am not and was not one. So we planned, we used contraception. I would describe my first time as, okay, neither good nor bad. At least I did it with someone I loved, which for me was very important, and which for me, when, about 6 months later, I told my mother I wanted to go on the birth control pill, and she screamed and freaked out because her teenage daughter was having sex. I used the excuse, do you want me to just go to college and fuck the first man I see? Because honestly, that was the other option. And although I don't think my mom appreciated it at that time, I think there has to be something in her mind that makes it her feel better about my first time now, if she ever thinks about it, and hopefully she doesn't really. And my boyfriend, who I lost my virginity with, my high school sweetheart, although he probably wouldn't call himself a sweetheart, or wouldn't want me to call him a sweetheart, I should say. We wound up staying together for 9 years. So it wasn't some quick little pop my cherry and move on sort of moment. And, you know, we don't keep in touch anymore. But that's because there was a lot going on in those 9 years, and it had nothing to do with our first time. So I'd love to hear about your first time. It would be so much fun, don't you think? Email me at hotwax, hottwax at gmail.com, hottwax at gmail.com, or check out my website, jamiewaxman.com, and write me through there, jamiewaxman.com. And don't forget to check out Playgirl's website as well, PlaygirlTV.com, where you can get my podcast at the Daily Fix or on my own website. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed my first time more than I did. Or no, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. But please come again and again and again.